The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And I say, I love you. And he looked right at me in his low voice and says, thank you.
Welcome to the My Prince Story podcast, a podcast where we have conversations with other Big Prince fam about how the Purple Yoda has impacted their lives. I'm your host, Data Marshall, and today I'm talking with new friend and huge Prince fam, Aaron. And excuse me while I start this episode off bragging about my Prince basement.
All right, Aaron, thank you for coming today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, I've bumped into you a couple times, and now I finally got to show off my basement.
Pretty awesome. The pictures do not do it justice.
I am very proud of how well I did a Prince basement off of very little money because I'm in radio, so it turned out well. But a lot of my inspiration from the painting, like you'll notice the very different, almost teal color to the floor, all the way to the cloud stuff I painted in the hallway. That's from like when you walk into Paisley Park. And I don't know if you noticed, I made the rails a glittery gold when you come down the steps.
I'll have to see that on the way back up. I think I've got a little mesmerized by the clouds.
Yeah, well, my fiance saw it. She said, really? Hey, I just wanted it to have something like Paisley Park at.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's beautiful.
I have a problem.
A good problem.
When did we realize, I think it was pretty much instantly when we met, that we just started talking about Prince. Was that at a friend's party?
Yes, it was okay. At a friend's party, a friend that I work with. So he was aware of my, infatuation with Prince.
Oh, so they were probably pushing us together for a conversation.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he had mentioned, you need to go talk today. You guys have a lot in common.
Yes.
So.
That we spent all of our money on Prince.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is a true story. And he was right.
Yes.
And I think we bumped into each other maybe another time or two, and you reached out to me to talk about Prince, and there's nothing more I love to do.
When I met you at that party, I recognized you. Do you want to know why?
Why?
I recognized you from being one of the girls on stage during Morris Day and the Time.
That... Yes, you did. And yes, I was on stage with Morris Day. And I'm happy to say that I've also been on stage with Prince. So,
have you really?
I have.
Well, get out. Go. Oh, my God. On stage with Prince.
Yeah.
What concert was that?
That was in Cleveland in 2004. I believe that was Musicology.
Okay. Yeah, he did a lot with bringing people up on stage.
Yes, he did.
Now, I didn't go to the Cleveland show. I saw Musicology in Cincinnati. So close.
Mm-hmm.
He had like this big in the round situation. Was it the same for your concert too?
He did. It was the big symbol.
He had the chair that would like spin around when he played acoustic. That was so cool.
And
he brought so many people on stage during that tour.
And he used every bit of that stage in those shows. Every bit of it.
Do you remember what song you were on stage to, or is it all a blur?
Oh, I absolutely remember what song. I was on stage for two songs. It actually seemed like I was on stage forever, which to me was like time stood still.
Right.
I was there for Kiss.
Okay.
And Take Me With You.
How close were you to Prince?
He was about 2 feet from me without me knowing.
Be honest, even if you had heels on, were you about the same height?
He had me by about 2 inches.
Get out of here.
Well, I'm only 4'11".
Okay.
Which is one of the things I have in common with Prince.
See?
That and our shoe size, probably.
Right.
But yeah, he had me by a couple inches.
Yep, no
two or three
kidding.
Inches. I did not realize he was by me. They gave us strict instructions before we got on the stage. Do not touch him. So I'm a little bit nervous. And all of a sudden I can see I'm right up to the edge of the stage. And it's kind of a long drop when you're in the round up on a lifted stage like that. You know, you're probably up in the air about maybe 8 feet or so.
Yeah.
I look down and I can see the faces of everybody lighting up. And I'm like, oh, what's happening behind me? And I turn and he is right behind me dancing, playing his guitar. And I almost have to move so I don't accidentally touch him because instincts are kicking in a little bit at this point.
Because you're like, I have to put my booty on him.
That's right.
Going to happen.
I'm sorry. Is that why we're on stage?
If this is the night I get kicked out of a Prince concert, this is the night
so
I get kicked
be
out.
It. Yeah.
But can you think of a better reason to get kicked out of a Prince
show? Not one better reason. And I can remember what he was wearing. If you remember that Did you see the cover of Rolling Stone for Musicology with him in the white shirt with the red polka dots?
Yes.
It was very similar to that, but black.
This is a bizarre question, especially coming from me. People question my sexuality all the time because I have purple hair and a girl's name. I don't care. But did you smell him?
I did not.
Because a lot has been made of when people have met Prince, famous people and otherwise, he just smells clean and he smells like money. Like there's a smell that just comes off of him.
Well, no. No, that's a really good question, though. I wish I would have smelled him. But no, I don't recall that at all.
So how many Prince concerts have you done?
I've been to 8.
Oh!
I have a top 5.
Hit me.
My number 5 is actually not Prince. It's the Revolution concert, and I heard you talking about that concert.
Which one did you go to?
I went to the one at Majestic in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, I did the one in Chicago, and it just melted my face.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was so amazing, and I think, you know, you had talked about how Paisley Park brought you closure on one of your previous discussions.
Sure, sure.
And I really felt that this concert, that concert did that for me. I mean,
yeah,
literally you're in the room with everybody that has the same heartbreak that you have for someone that we've, well, some of us had met them, but
I'm just going to go ahead and assume that you're in a room full of complete strangers and it is nothing but good feelings, right?
Like, it's amazing.
Like you're all connected in some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely
just this weird situation where a bunch of strangers can just connect and have no issues.
It's so true. It's to have that connection. It's just so powerful. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that makes Prince so important to me is that type of connection that he brings to people.
So was that your number 5 show?
That's my number 5.
Okay.
Also during that show, we were in a VIP area.
Ooh.
So I got to meet Bobby Z's wife.
Come on.
Yeah. And so now we're friends on Facebook, of course.
Oh, my God. Come
and
on.
And they had canceled the meet and greet that was supposed to happen before.
Right.
Because of the time of the concert or someone was later. They just couldn't do it. And she knew that. And I had brought my Around the World in a Day CD. And because that's the one that all the Revolution that we're playing were all on that one. And she took it backstage and had signed for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the Revolution are really cool like that. A few years back, well, okay, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was playing Words with Friends with Lisa Coleman of the Revolution, or Wendy and Lisa.
That's amazing.
The whole time I was like, Dana, don't fangirl out on her. Just play the game. The second you send her a chat, it's over. She's not going to play games with you anymore. She kicked my butt in Words with Friends on a constant basis. I don't know why she kept playing me. Like, she would destroy me. Finally, I sent her a chat, said, hey, I'm a big fan. You know, can I buy something autographed from you guys or whatever? And she said, I'll send you a record. What do you want it to say? And I said, please don't be mad at me. But can you say to Dana, yes, the water is warm enough? And she said, sure. For free, she sent me a record signed to Dana, yes, the water is warm enough. I'll just show it to you before you leave. You know, sign Lisa. I could not. Why did she? She was so nice. Why? Why did she just share that love like that? And that is what I hear stories like that all the time of people close to Prince being generous with that kind of love. That's my dream, is to meet Wendy and Lisa.
Yeah.
I've always felt connected to those two from the movie Purple Rain and then through their careers. And seeing the Revolution play that night, oh my God.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Now, have you seen any of the interviews where they talk about working with Prince and that type of thing?
Have I binge-watched everything I could find?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on those? I mean, I really felt like that's one of the silver linings to me is, you know, with his passing, is being able to hear from these folks that maybe haven't felt comfortable in talking or weren't in a place to talk about things like that, but getting that insight has really been the cool part about the tragedy.
You get behind the curtain on the real relationships and how things can go south, but then after time, you know, those wounds healed and they got close, and thankfully most of the people from Prince's musical past, like Wendy is a great example, they ended up mending fences.
Yep.
And playing together live, I can't even remember, on Tavis Smiley show.
Oh, yeah.
They played a song, they played Reflections together.
With his purple acoustic guitar.
Yes.
Yep.
And that was amazing. And I've heard that Prince wrote a song about Wendy on the Emancipation album, and I'm not going to remember which one.
Really?
But I'm sure people are going to hit me hard on Twitter because everybody's going to know. They're going to like, you idiot, it's this song.
Oh, I hope they do, because I
think
think
it's like
it either.
In This Bed I Scream, I think is the one.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
and it's about, where did all
that
these
would make
good
sense.
Times go?
Yeah.
And I feel like he's always had a tight connection, and I hated seeing the two of them not have a musical connection. Hearing her talk about how they butted heads but mm-hmm. then ended up kind of at least reconnecting on a lower level. Right. That made me happy.
Right.
He's a human, and you know.
And they were family.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, families, you know, often go through that, too, where
sure.
you have disagreements and you're not seeing eye to eye, and it can last for some time. But I think that's a good way to describe that relationship.
All right. So what's your number four, Shep?
So my number four is when I saw Prince in Toronto. It was the Welcome to Canada. I think it was in 2011. And this is also the last time I saw Prince.
Okay.
Live.
My last time was Welcome to Chicago.
Okay.
So same tour.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to have all the same tours.
Probably.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Well, I don't think we're very far apart in age.
No,
and I think we have a similar story of how we found Prince and how
okay.
Prince. So, but he opened with Gold.
Okay.
And I had never heard Gold live ever, and it's one of my very favorite songs. And he came out and he had on a gold outfit,
right,
and a gold guitar, and at the end gold confetti came falling.
And that's how he opened the freaking show.
And that's how he opened the show.
Jeez.
So for me, that moment, you know, just when you think that you've seen it all and you've heard it all and you've watched it all, he does something completely different.
Oh, sure.
The tears are falling, and it was just an amazing moment for me to hear that song live and that in the round again and,
yeah.
you know, with that crowd and with all the passion he put behind it.
I remember the very, very first time I saw him live in concert. It was at Fox Theater in Detroit in 92, I think. The curtain drops and then Prince flies out of nowhere and does a typical Prince scream. And all of a sudden, it hits me that I'm in the room with Prince. It's a large room, but I'm in the room with Prince.
It counts.
And I think I was probably 18 or 19. I just started crying like a little girl. I was overwhelmed. Didn't know that was going to happen.
You know, know that's going to happen.
I'm just like, why? Why is my face leaking? I didn't know.
Yeah.
It punched me in the gut. I couldn't believe that I was right there. And he did like a 4-hour show. It just blew my freaking mind.
So was that Diamond and Pearls then?
It was like My Name is Prince and all
okay.
that. Yeah.
Yep.
I can't remember the name of the tour off the top of my head, but it was when he had the Typhoo-Do and the hat with the chains and the gun mic.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if anybody can tell me how to get my hands on a gun mic, I need to get my hands on one of those. All right, so what
you definitely need that down here.
Yeah, what was your number three?
My number three was when I attended a sound check at the Detroit Opera House.
Sound check?
Yes. Do you remember the MPG Music Club, the New Power Generation Music Club? Okay.
Prince has taken all of my money, so yes.
Yes, so yes, you're well aware of that. So there was, and I don't remember the logistics of it all, but you could put in for these tickets or this opportunity to go to the sound check before the show.
I vaguely remember that.
Do you remember that?
I remember the website promoted like special.
And you didn't go, huh?
Yeah, no, I don't think I was smart enough. That's actually how I got that guitar, was off of that website, the Blue Angel Cloud guitar.
I think that's how we got a lot of our really cool stuff.
He was a website genius, I never took advantage of that, though. So so the sound check, was that like a real intimate situation?
It was.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There was maybe 50 people, maybe. And we all sat in the seats kind of in the front rows. And you did a little question and answer. I couldn't ask you what anybody asked. I kept, you know, the only question I could think of to ask him was, what's your shoe size? Because I was just so dumbfounded that I couldn't think of anything smart. But
Hi, Prince. Can you say my name out loud? That's my question.
Well, that would have worked, too. Yeah.
That's all I need.
But he performed at the sound check. It started out at first. We're waiting for him. And he's sitting in the back behind all of us. And he's got a mic. And all of a sudden you hear him talking and everybody's looking for him. But I think if you've ever watched any of his older videos, that's where he used to do sound check from, was the back of the house.
Oh, yeah. So he could coach the band through certain things.
Right. Yep. So that's basically what he was doing. He played Paisley Park and he played Strollin', you know, just kind of right there with, you know, a few of, I think Rhonda was there at the time playing bass. Hmm. I can't remember who else, but
that's pretty cool. All right. So your number two Prince show ever?
My number two was Grand Rapids when I was in the front row.
What year?
2002.
I was hoping we were going to be at the same Grand Rapids.
Maybe 2004.
What tour was it?
Oh, yeah, it was 2004.
What tour was it?
It was...
I was in Grand Rapids in the 90s for like Emancipation. Okay.
Yeah, this was the Musicology tour. I went to quite a few of them. So he had Maceo Parker on sax and Greg Boyer on trombone. And they were coming off the stage, right right on my side. Mm-hmm. Like, I was right by the stairs where they come off stage. And they'd come off stage.
Which, by the way, the brass section for both the welcome tour and the musicology tour were just stupid.
Amazing.
They were big guys with their instruments dancing while they're playing. It was ridiculous.
Amazing. And Prince was so into it, too.
Oh, yeah. He loves it.
I mean, yeah. It was just a lesson.
Right.
In how to incorporate a horn section into a, you know, 3-hour show.
How to do real music.
Yeah.
In a real show.
Yes. Real music, yeah, for real musicians.
Okay. So sorry, I interrupted you.
So they would come off the stage, mm-hmm, for when they weren't, you know, playing any horn parts, and they were right in front of me. And so I got to know him pretty well, and we were joking around and, you know, everything. And at the end of the show, Prince comes off that side, and I hold my hand out, and he grabs my hand, and I look at him, and I say, I love you. And he looked right at me in his low voice and says, thank you.
What a great response. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. In the voice. You can probably do it. That
so
low.
You've touched Prince.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
trying to not hate you today.
I start immediately crying.
Sure.
Immediately. Candy Duffler, remember her? She played saxophone too.
Freaking love Candy.
She comes off the stage, sees me crying, grabs me in a huge bear hug. Oh, baby, it's going to be okay. So I'm just crying in Candy's arms. It was nuts.
Wow.
The whole thing was nuts.
Now, for those of you that don't know Candy Dolfer, Candy was with a band that was supposed to open up for Prince on a tour many years ago. For some reason, Prince ended up passing on that band and went with someone else. Candy wrote Prince a letter letting him know that that was a terrible mistake and he's going to regret it, basically, and that she's the best damn sax player that he could have ever heard. He liked the letter and he hired her. And so then, like in the, I want to say it's the song Party Man, he says, yep, when I want sax, I call Candy. Candy. That's Candy Dolfer.
Yep.
She's a saxophone badass.
She really is. Great up on stage. Just.
Oh, sure.
She's perfect. Perfect.
All right, so far, I hate everything you've said because of your proximity to Prince.
Well, we've already talked about my number one, which is obviously dancing on stage with him. I'm fairly certain that
that's
the highlight.
Sure.
I mean, Morris Day at State Theater here in Kalamazoo, you know.
Did you get backstage with Morris Day at that show?
I did.
Yeah. I did too. Was he just like a statue?
He was.
He didn't speak to me. He just stood there and did this weird finger guns thing. On the Instagram for my Prince story, there's a picture of Morris Day and me, and he's doing this weird finger guns thing. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's like I'm trying to not touch him. I'm trying to not break any rules.
Oh, yeah. You
know? And he was way taller than I thought. Why did I think that Morris Day was tiny? When I met him, I was like, whoa, he's probably 6 foot
Maybe
tall.
Maybe Prince played tricks on us back in the day.
But the band was awesome. In fact, you bumped into the time after the show that night.
I did.
Another reason for me to dislike you.
Yep.
They're stacking up, Aaron.
I know. I just seem to find myself in the right place at the right time. We hung out with Jelly Bee Johnson.
Yes.
And he actually got up and played a song at the Union here in downtown Kalamazoo.
Was he still wearing his big top hat?
He was, with the Prince symbol on it.
I love it.
Really cool guys. True musicians and kind and, you know, appreciative of their fans.
Yeah.
You know, just all around great experience. So.
I love how Morris Day points out, because I've been pointing this out for years to anyone that will listen, that I love Bruno Mars, but his whole shtick from when he really broke and became huge was from ripping off Morris Day and the Time. You can't argue that I'm wrong, because I'm not wrong. Like, all of his biggest hits sound like a Morris Day and the Time song. And my son loves Bruno Mars. I'm like, hey, buddy, come. I don't want you just to listen to this. I want you to watch the videos and look at the outfits. Same shoes, mm-hmm, same suits, same dance, mm-hmm, moves. Morris, during the concert, he had a little, yep, something to say about it.
Yes, he did.
And I like that a lot.
I do, too.
Yeah.
But I'm also a Bruno fan.
Sure.
You know, for me, I like seeing that music kind of resurrect itself, mm-hmm, in other musicians. I see it as a compliment to Morris that Bruno's doing that now. Has Bruno come out and given him credit?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He's talked about how Prince has been a huge, yes, influence in his life, mm-hmm, so I can only hope that he has mentioned,
right,
Morris.
Right.
And let's be honest, love Morris Day and the Time, but that's music created by Prince anyway. So really, he ripped Prince off. Yeah,
it is.
Now Morris is never going to do an interview with me because I just said that. Morris Day, I love you.
Me too.
Now let's talk a little bit about Paisley Park, because, you know, I've been there 3 or 4 times and you've been there.
I've only been there once. Okay. I'd like to get back. 3 or 4 times, huh?
Well, because I got to be honest with you. I get lucky. I have a radio convention in either June or July every year that's held in Minneapolis. Why would
Meant
I go to,
be. To
Minneapolis and not yeah. go to Paisley? That's ridiculous.
No. Yeah, you have to.
Did you do the VIP?
I did.
Isn't it worth it, though?
I wouldn't. I don't know why you would do anything but the VIP.
Paisley Park, pay me for advertising. Yeah, the VIP is so, I think yeah. it's like around 90-ish minutes, and the tour guides are stupid awesome.
Well, it's very overwhelming even just walking, mm-hmm. right when you walk in. I went the March after he passed, so not quite mm-hmm. a year, but it felt like everything that was there had been there.
Yeah,
and they really hadn't moved much,
right?
And just the connection that you feel immediately, not just to Paisley Park and to Prince, but the people you're with. It was really overwhelming and wonderful.
What really grabbed you the most about the Paisley Park experience? Was it the pancakes? Did you have the
pancakes?
I
did not have pancakes.
Shame
I was
on
not
you.
Interested in pancakes. I make pretty good pancakes, so.
Yeah, but they're the pancakes that Prince ate.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
That's my favorite word, allegedly.
So I'll tell you my favorite part.
Okay.
So I decided I was going to take notes because I didn't know when I was going to get back. You couldn't take pictures.
Right.
And I wanted to be able to jog my memory, which normally you do with pictures, right? So I'm writing in this little notebook. A guy comes up to me and he said, "Are you a reporter?" I'm like, no, I'm not a reporter. I'm just taking notes so I remember it. Well, it turned out it was one of Prince's security guards. I'm going to do my best to remember this. I was pretty overwhelmed by the whole experience, but you know, I asked him what his favorite room was. This is when we're kind of touring through some of the rooms. And he said this one, it was the room that had all the mirrors in it. And it used to be the basketball court.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And he said the first time he was there, that Prince had him stand at the door to guard it. And no one was around. And he played 3 different guitars for 2+ hours with this guy just standing there.
It's like he got his own personal
And
concert.
He said... He said it was like a test to see how he would act around him. And he was a security guard for three years. So basically, he just had to stand there.
I would have failed.
I would have failed, too.
Because he was funny about that. Mm-hmm. You weren't allowed to fangirl in any
That's right.
form.
You wanted to be focused on your job. If you're guarding the door, you're guarding the door.
Would have failed hardcore.
Me, too.
That area you're talking about is like, that's the entrance to the big soundstage.
Yes.
So you have a big soundstage, which when you walk in, it looks like the inside of a ginormous warehouse, which now has everything from cars to instruments set up. You can walk around and check out. I didn't realize the first time I went, but the second time I went, one of the tour guides pointed out that that's where the music video Get Off was filmed. So those giant doors when you walk into the soundstage, there are these two women that open the doors. Oh, well, it's Diamond and Pearl, and there's two guys that open the doors, rather. Those two doors... Those are the doors that begin the video to Get Off.
Okay.
And so when you're standing there, you look up at these giant doors, you're like, oh my God, I know these doors. Which that happened a lot, like Sign of the Times. You walk into the little club area after the soundstage and you're like, I recognize all of this from Sign of the Times.
Yep.
Sorry, I just hit my tamburaca. There were lots of moments like that where you could recognize certain things and be like, oh my God, the Purple Rain room. Like, where can I get all this Purple Rain wallpaper? I need that wallpaper in my life.
You do need that in your life.
You know what I'm talking
ceiling,
about?
Ceiling, I think.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome. Yeah.
I think my fiance would eventually have to say, I've had enough. I'm out.
I think you can squeeze a few more things down here.
You think so? I think so, too. I'm running out of room. I'm going to be on Hoarders, but it's going to be the most unique Hoarders ever. Like, he's hoarding Prince stuff.
That can be your live video.
We should do one of those one day.
Yeah.
How did you discover Prince? Like, what was the moment where all of a sudden Prince became, like, a thing for you?
So, I think for me, Prince was a common coming-of-age tale of a, you know, teenager that has their own car and has their own money and can buy their own music. And I had been, you know, listening to a lot of rap and R&B. I'd grown up on Beatles and, you know, a lot of acoustic-type music and, you know, The Doors and Led Zeppelin and all of that. So I really liked the music part of it. But, you know, the R&B and the funk that you know, the early 90s brought.
Right.
Something I really enjoyed.
New Jack Swing was my jam in the 90s.
Yeah. Yep, you and me both. I had stumbled upon Prince, I think it was in my psyche before that. I don't know. Did you grow up in this area?
Pretty much. I think I moved here when I was 14 or 15, so the formative years for sure were here.
Yeah. So when I was younger, we used to spend the summers out in South Haven. And then, you know, the main drag on North Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in the, you know, mid-80s, people would cruise that.
And and I'm sorry to interrupt you real quick. We have listeners all the way from, like, the Netherlands to, you know, we're talking about, right now we're in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yes.
In South Haven, right off
the
lake.
Yeah, I guess
Michigan.
I could note that, too. So yeah. South Haven is on a really big lake.
Huge
lake Michigan.
Yes.
Much bigger than Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah, oh, yeah, very much.
And
I've been topless in that lake.
So if you can imagine back in the 80s,
right,
you know, all the teenagers, you know, all the college kids are coming in, and there's this one street that drives right in front of this massive white sand beach, and everybody's got their windows down and everybody's playing their music, and you're hearing the Police and Madonna. And I remember hearing When Doves Cry. And you remember Doves Cry because there's no bass. I think it just stands out, especially when it's blasting from a car. So that, I think, that, and then seeing the video, you know, on the TV with him crawling towards the camera on the floor when you're young.
For the audience, Aaron's face changed when she started talking about the video.
Yeah, that is a I think a life-changing moment in a young girl's in world.
Starts discovering things about herself.
So I think it was already in my psyche, and then the album Come was really my Prince.
Wow, that's
the beginning of my Prince.
I feel,
you know,
like that album
escapade.
Does not get enough recognition. Underrated would be an understatement. There are a lot of good tracks on that album, and I realized that was one of his albums where he was giving a middle finger to Warner Brothers.
Yes.
Very big middle. I mean, his last song on it was Had You. Do you realize his very first song ever was For You, and his last song was Had You for Warner Brothers? That's like, it's almost like he planned it from the beginning in 1977. How does he do this stuff?
He's a wizard.
He is.
He's a Purple Yoda.
He's freaking magic.
Yes.
But that album is awesome. Let It Go got a little bit of radio play. It wasn't like
it wasn't
like a big radio success, but the album itself.
Right.
Wait, let me think here. I don't know everything about Prince. I'm going to get things wrong, but that's the album that has Papa on it, isn't it? Or do I have the wrong one?
No, I don't. Well,
Papa,
I don't know either.
Smack. I think
it does.
So Come,
you
have the
Come
album.
And there's Space, but Let It Go did get the airplay, and that's what got me intrigued. I think I was right around 16 or 17, my own car, CD player, which, you know, I thought I was really cool.
those were the days.
I know. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that went in my CD player and didn't come out. For a long time.
I remember having that in my car CD player, playing it over and over and over.
Yep.
All right, so how do you think Prince has impacted your life? Is there anything about you professionally, personally, anything that you feel like, because you so absorbed yourself into Prince world, that maybe you've gone a different direction?
You know, I was a very, I was a high-level athlete. I was a gymnast, and I did gymnastics in college, and I was training all through my life from the time of 8 years old. And I think I missed out on a lot of regular experiences. I got to go to some dances and some high school football games here and there. But so I felt like, for me, Prince was a way for me to experience other cultures and other beliefs and other time and space, and I think that, you know, it even grew with me, even sexuality, being, you know, a 16-year-old girl that's in the gym 20 hours a day. I mean, you know, I haven't had a long serious boyfriend. I can't do that. I don't have time for that. But I think it taught me about not just sex but love. So I think it kind of coached me along, so to speak, you know, helped direct me through some of those times in my life, especially moving into high school and then moving into college. You know, it's kind of a soundtrack of my life.
Is there a song that you directly connect to something really personal in your life?
There's some that I'm not going to talk about that connect to my past pretty intensely. But Adore is my all-time.
Adore comes up every episode, by the way.
There's no reason why it shouldn't.
It's the best written song maybe ever.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
It's got everything in it. It's everything that you would want to hear from someone. It's everything you want to say to someone. It's everything you want to feel.
You know how like there'll be certain Prince songs where they're like one or two like perfectly quotable lines. The problem is Adore has like 100 of those. Well, if you want to be funny, there's the maybe not the ride. If you want to really get deep with the love lyrics, the steal for the love note, there's mm-hmm. the love is too weak to describe just what you mean to me. God one day struck me blind. The lyrics are so freaking incredible. And then that whole song, how he does it, and that really high, what is that, falsetto?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he breaks into that deeper voice, I'll give you my mind. He completely changes the tone of his voice. I'm like, how many layers can this song have? Stop it. It's a song that can get away with being so long. Because sometimes songs just go too long. That song cannot go too long.
It cannot.
And whenever I hear like a radio edit played, I'm not happy. Like, how
isn't
can you,
that the truth?
The edit cuts off right when it gets funky. I'm like, no yeah. cutting there. Yeah. Oh, that's the best song.
Is that your favorite too?
It connects to certain, okay. Connects to something yeah. in my life. Yeah. But I do feel like when you said soundtrack of your life, I think that's true for a lot of us Prince fam. And there are just certain times where this is the album I was banging nonstop. Mm-hmm. And this is what was going on in my life. And
that's
I connect
right.
those.
Yep.
But there are albums I go back to a lot because sometimes it's a mood thing. Like one day I found myself listening to Lotus Flower, which I didn't give a lot of play when I first got it. And I was like, Jesus, the songwriting. Why didn't I notice this? Colonized Mind, I feel like he predicted the entire mm-hmm. Trump presidency. And
yeah.
like there are all of these things.
Forever is yep. everyone. I think that's in there. Oh, Forever.
That's a great
song. So that's one
song.
Of those songs that when I heard it, it reminded me of a few like years past, you know, of someone special years past.
And that's a great song because it's simple yet powerful. Yeah. It's not like this big opera song.
That's right.
Like he can do sometimes.
Yep.
It's just simple and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
From the Parade album, sometimes I love to go back to Another Lover, Like You Need a Hole in Your Head.
Baby.
There's something about that song. Yeah, so I guess it just depends on the time or the mood I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just
been,
so much work.
I've been listening to Private Joy quite a bit off of Controversy.
Whoa, going back.
You should re-listen to that song.
Prince grew so much between Controversy and Purple Rain.
Absolutely.
That it's, I mean, he is a different artist for every album. Like, you can't. Love Sexy and Sign of Times came out a year apart, but they are not the same album, not even mm-hmm. in the ballpark, right?
Nope.
You can say the same thing for any Prince album back to back. But the distance that he went from Controversy to 1999, then Purple Rain, it is so crazy. It doesn't sound like the same human at all.
No, it doesn't. Except for the confidence piece, because I listened to Private Joy mainly for the part where he says, if anybody asks you, you belong to Prince.
I do like that line a lot.
I mean.
Yeah, I put that up there with acknowledge me. That's what yeah, it kind of reminds yeah. me of.
Exactly.
So that's actually a really solid album for being, that was in 1979, 1980. Yeah. If I had to pick like certain songs from an album, they're always going to be songs that weren't singles, right? Because mm-hmm. we've all heard all the hits. But for me, it's going to be from 1999. It's going to be Something in the Water Does Not Compute. I just love how okay. different and crazy that song is. I love Prince Screaming. Prince Screaming is kind of a thing. I
is
love
it?
That. Yeah. Computer Blue from Purple Rain, which the Revolution opened up the show in Chicago with.
Oh, did
and
they?
I just about peed myself because I literally whispered to a couple friends of mine that were with me, I pray they play that song because I've never heard that live. And I love the dueling guitar solos in it. And when they opened it up, I looked over at mm-hmm. them like it was for me, like it was my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I always like to pick those tracks from albums that aren't like the big hits. And I feel like they're mine in a way. You know yeah. what I mean? 1999 has a ton of songs. Like, what would be your favorite if you had to pick one from that album?
Lady Cab Driver, hands down.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hands down.
I actually heard Lenny Kravitz do a cover of that, and it was really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that one up later.
I'm not a huge fan of people doing Prince covers, but Lenny gets a free pass all day long.
So I don't know if you've ever listened to the Purple Current, which is Minnesota's public radio station.
Yes.
And they do a Purple Hour every day. And they end the Purple Hour with a cover, with someone covering Prince every day. And that's been really cool doing that. I love going to concerts, and this is going to seem strange, and people ask me, Aaron, how do these genres even connect? But I'm a really big bluegrass fan.
Wow.
And
did not see that coming.
Yeah, no. So, and I tried.
You mean like Nickel Creek, or even like, I mean, like way more Kentucky than that?
No, probably Nickel Creek. Like, okay. I'm a big Avett Brothers fan.
Sure,
and
okay.
I'm a huge Green Sky Bluegrass fan.
Gotcha. Kind of an alti country kind of thing.
Yeah, jam Absolutely. Band type thing. And I
That still is way different than Prince, but
it's way different.
Yeah.
I have heard all of them do Prince covers.
What? I will pay money that I don't have to see Nickel Creek do a Prince song.
I haven't heard Nickel Creek, but Green Skies done Doves.
Right.
And so has Avett Brothers. And I've seen both of them do it live.
Everybody lately that brings up When Doves Cry never says the whole title. I think it's because they're so sick of the song.
Possibly.
Everybody calls it Doves
title.
Or Doves Cry or something. I don't know. That was his biggest hit ever. So if you're like a
Hashtag
true Prince
Doves.
Fan, you're just like, yeah, it's his big hit. We get it.
Yeah.
It's what people know that don't really love Prince.
Yeah.
That's the, we're kind of,
yeah.
Well, that's, I do like that. I've seen a lot of country artists do Prince covers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a satellite channel, the Garth Channel, that constantly plays Prince.
Oh,
which
really?
Makes no sense to me. See, if you could meet any, let's call him a Prince person, any Prince person, someone that was in Prince's life, whether it's musician like somebody from the Revolution or Maite, if you could be any of those people, actually spend time with one of those Prince people, who would you choose?
Wow. Well, I read Maite's book. And I loved it.
Some Prince fans are a little about it, and I loved it.
Did you read it?
I loved it. I'll be honest, I did the audiobook. I'm not a reader.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I loved it.
It still counts.
It does, because she read it.
Did she?
So I feel like I won twice.
I would love to, you know, talk to her about writing that book and how that went, if that was something that she had always thought about, or how long it took, the emotional part of it. And then I think maybe I'm I don't know who else. Maybe Suzanne Melvoin.
Susanna Melvoin.
Yeah.
Am I saying her name
right? I think
right?
so, yes.
Okay, for the record, I've been in radio since the early 90s, so I've met every famous person, right? It's not a big deal. It's a part of the job. You learn how uncool it can be to be famous. But when it comes to Prince people, all bets are off.
I would hope so.
I become a 15-year-old girl in front of a boy band. I can't help it. In Minneapolis, when I went to the big Prince tribute thing after he passed, we had gone to all these shows and I was exhausted. We go back to the hotel, we get on the elevator, and at the big Prince tribute show at the big Coliseum in Minneapolis, the music director that was on stage for the whole thing was Morris Hayes. I look over to my right.
Genius. They're with him since the early days, really.
I look to my right, and Morris is standing there in a trench coat, looking all exhausted. And I was like, oh, my God. I completely lost my damn mind. Like, oh, my God. You're Morris Hayes. And he was like, hey, how are you? And he shook my hand like, oh, my God. I was an idiot. I was an idiot. And Susanna, my fiance, is just watching it happen. And she's never seen that side of me before. And she's just laughing out loud. And I can't control
myself.
Wait,
she's never seen that side of you before?
Not quite
to that extent.
Yeah, who cares? They're just people. But then they're Prince people. I can't find that humanity. I just become an idiot. And I missed my floor. And I looked over at Morris. I missed my floor. I was an idiot. I lost my mind. Because I've seen him like a million videos. I don't know. It was, and then he was just on stage with all these people that I respect. That was incredible.
I was going to ask you about that. I didn't attend that. I haven't attended any of the celebrations, and I'm curious to know what you thought and how it was put together. And
we were disappointed because all of the huge headliners that were supposed to be there all pulled out at the last minute. John Mayer was supposed to be there, pulled out. Christina Aguilera pulled out. Anita Baker pulled out. So we're just like, dang. But hey, bucket list. We checked off Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder was there. There are a lot of big names there. I did want to see John Mayer. That guy plays some mean guitar.
Yes, he does.
I wanted to see him do a Prince guitar solo like it's nobody's business. So I was bummed that didn't happen. But no, it was cool. Morris Day and the Time, they were amazing. And, you know, Morris Hayes doing his thing. That was great. The whole experience, it's just all about the experience, though. Mm-hmm. All of these people that are all there for the same reason.
Right.
Yeah,
so
I loved it.
What do you think about the Revolution and the Time touring?
I love that. It's like a lot of other Prince people, as we lost this artist that meant so much to us, we're all just clamoring to get some sort of, I don't want to say piece of him because that's wrong, but it's just like you don't want to let it die.
Right.
And this is keeping it alive in some way where we can go see Morris Day come to Kalamazoo, and then you're going to see the Revolution in Detroit. I'm going to see them in Chicago, and they just keep touring. I've got to see the MPG. I love the New Power Generation, Levi Caesar.
You let me know when you go.
Yeah, Levi Caesar is one of my favorite guitar players.
That's what my dog is named after him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tony B. A lot of people give Tony B flack. They're like, we don't like the rap stuff that Prince did. I love it. I love all that. Jughead, make fun of it all you want. That's my jam. Kick in the Jughead. Don't care. I love all the Tony B stuff, or Tony M stuff. I don't know why I just call him Tony B. Tony M. I want to see the New Power Generation next. Fingers crossed. I am so for them. A lot of people are, or I shouldn't say a lot, I've heard some people make comments about them making a money grab mm-hmm. off of the tragedy of Prince's death, and I just don't see it that way. The Revolution put it best. Yeah. Let's heal together.
Yep.
I 100% am on board with that.
Yep, I agree with that. On April 20th, I'm going to see Sheila E. in the Time.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I have not seen Sheila E., so I'm really excited about that.
Oh, she's a class act.
Have you seen her live?
She was at the show that I was at.
Oh, yes.
And,
okay.
And right after Prince died, I jumped in my car and just drove to Minneapolis. And I was standing outside of Paisley Park with a bunch of other Prince fans. We're just standing around. And then Sheila E. pulls up. And we didn't realize this, but the funeral is basically happening. And so I got to see Sheila E. kind of close up. At, you know,
that's amazing.
Terrible moment. But, I love me some Sheila E. On April 20th of this year, I'm doing something Princey as well.
What are you doing?
I don't know how much of this I can say right now, but a celebrity that I recently found out is a huge Prince fan.
Okay.
Puts on a Prince-themed party every year around the anniversary of his passing.
Okay.
He invited me to go in Hollywood. So in Hollywood, it's a big soundstage. A bunch of famous people will be there. So it's, I don't know that much about it, but, and I don't want to spoil anything and get my invitation pulled, but so I bought my plane tickets. I'm going to Hollywood and going to a Prince-themed party. I am so excited. I can't stand myself.
Well, we expect a podcast from Hollywood.
Yeah. In fact, I've already lined up podcast episodes with quite a few. There's a guy from TMZ. There's a person that I love very much. It's a Prince fan. That she's also a comedy writer.
Okay.
She wrote for Rosie O'Donnell and got to meet Prince when Prince did Rosie. Remember that
show?
Oh,
I remember that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And right now she's doing a show with Busy Phillips. Called was called Busy Tonight. I hope I didn't get that wrong. Yeah, so I have a few people lined up, but I just can't wait just to be at this party.
That sounds epic. I'm super excited for you.
All right, well, thank you so much for spending time.
This has been so enjoyable. Oh. Thank you for just giving me an opportunity to talk about, you know, something I'm so passionate about.
And my pleasure.
It's great to meet, you know, friends that feel like family once you know they're Prince fans.
Get show notes, pictures, and more info on My Prince Story at MyPrincePodcast.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at My Prince Podcast. My Prince Story is recorded in my cozy Prince basement in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.